Okay, we are recording. This is a public meeting of the Due Process Oversight Committee. This is Alan Beller, the chair. We are meeting this morning to consider two items. One is a request for the committee to approve a shorter comment period for amendments to IAS 9 and 39 in connection with IBOR reform. And the second is to consider some of the last items with respect to due process handbook, and then to approve the issuance of the exposure draft of the revised due process handbook for public comment. We're doing this meeting off cycle from the in-person meetings that we cannot conduct in connection with the trustees meetings because of the time constraints that require action on IBOR reform and the time pressures that make it desirable to move more quickly. We save several months, frankly, by not waiting until the next in-person meeting to approve the due process handbook issuance for public comment. So that as context and prelude, we turn this over to Mar and Uni to talk about IBOR reform.
Thank you. So as we have informed the DPOC at its meeting last January, the purpose of Agenda Paper 1A is to request for the DPOC approval for a short period for the forthcoming exposure draft on IBOR. The exposure draft will propose narrow scope amendments to IFRS 9 and IAS 39 to address current uncertainties arising from IBOR reform. The scope of these proposed amendments remains in line with what we discussed with the DPOC at its January meeting. That is, they address the issues arising before the IBOR reform is enacted. At the March board meeting this week, the board will be asked to set the comment period for the exposure draft. As we indicated in the DPOC's January meeting, in order to achieve the board's current timetable, which is to issue the final amendments by the end of this year, a short comment period would be necessary. So in view of this, we would like to seek the approval from the DPOC for a comment period of no less than 30 days. Thank you.
Thank you, Uni. As the paper that was posted indicates, the staff is going to recommend at the next board meeting a comment period of 45 days. It is possible that the board will approve the issuance of the proposed, the exposure draft for the proposed amendments with a comment period of 30 days. So the committee is being asked to approve a comment period of no less than 30 days. Any questions or comments?
Not for me.
Okay, hearing none. Let's call the question. Do I hear a motion to approve the issuance by the board of the exposure draft for IBOR reform with a comment period of no less than 30 days? Anyone make a motion?
I'll move it, Guillermo.
Thank you. Any second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Most importantly,
aye.
On the phone. Anyone opposed, please say nay. Hearing none, I think it passed unanimously. Move to the second item, which is the due process handbook. We have gone through in the course of our last two public meetings a series of specific issues that are the most significant that are being covered by the handbook review. There was one paper that was posted for the meeting in Malaysia, but which we did not get to, which was the paper on educational material. So the first item today is to go through that paper and see whether or confirm that the committee is in agreement with the suggestions made therein. So, Sam?
Thank you very much, Alan. So, yes, as Alan has said, the paper on educational materials carried forward from the January meeting, agenda paper 1B for our meeting today. The paper proposes refinements to the requirements in the due process handbook relating to publicly available educational material designed to support the implementation and application of IFRS standards. Now, currently in the handbook, specifically in paragraph 6.44, are specified the level of review currently required for three levels or types of categories of education material. Now, the staff think it would be helpful for the handbook to continue to categorise educational material produced by the foundation and to specify different levels of required review for each category. Now, however, we do feel that they need refinement to bring them in line with current convention, as they currently do not specify some of the newer types of material that are being produced, such as webinars and articles developed to support the implementation of the standards.
Unnamed participant has joined the conference.
Now,
who has just joined?
It's Teresa Coe. I apologize for joining in late.
Terrific. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm just going through agenda paper 1B, which is on educational material. Now, I was talking about the current convention around this. And that's been agreed with the DPOC through the annual review of educational material, which has been produced in 2017 and in 2018. So if we look at the proposed amendments and firstly on the proposed categories, now we want to maintain three categories as discussed. The first will be on high level summaries. Now these summaries would look at some of the requirements in IFRS standards, such as an introductory webcast on a new standard. The second category was slightly more detailed material, which could explain the requirements in a standard, such as a webcast on specific aspects in a standard. And finally, the most detailed material, which could explain or illustrate how the requirements in a standard might be applied in particular transactions or other circumstances. Then if we look at the proposed level of review for those categories, the handbook currently specifies different levels of review ranging from an appropriate technical staff member through to three board members. The nature of the educational material has changed in recent years and is more focused on materials designed to support those applying and using IFRS standards. And we ultimately think that all educational material should be subject to some level of board member review. So with that in mind, and the categories as well, if we look at category A materials, that high level summary material, we feel this should be reviewed by one board member. The mid level category, category B, that with slightly more detail, we feel should be reviewed by two board members. And finally, that most detailed material that can assess how a standard applies to particular circumstances, we feel should be reviewed by three board members. So the draft wording of the proposed amendments can be found in Appendix B to the paper and the question found on page one. And that question is, do the DPOC agree to modify the handbook to A, establish three categories of educational material that are outlined in paragraph six of this paper that I've discussed, and also B, specify the level of review for each of those categories, and that's outlined in paragraph 11.
Thank you, Sam. I think that is all relatively straightforward and self-explanatory. It really is a bringing of the handbook up to the present day in terms of the nature of the materials that the foundation produces and the who produces them, and continues to call for a requisite due process quality review. Any questions, comments from members of the committee?
Alan, I had one question, actually, if I may.
Go ahead.
So it's really related to paragraph 11 and the level of minimum review. I was trying to understand the added value. I mean, in the view of the board, the value of adding one board member to each of the steps. I understand, you know, moving from one to two, two to three seems to be less clear to me. So if someone could comment on the rationale for adding these resources in relation to the description of the items that are on page six, that would be helpful.
Michelle, it's Henry here. I would just say, in part, we were thinking about the current level of review that is required. And with the more complex materials currently, we do specify three board members. And the practice around most of the materials in that second category is currently two board members. And so I suppose the thinking was, is the level of review seems about right at the moment. What didn't seem quite right was the fact that perhaps we didn't always involve board members in that review, which is how we ended up with sort of saying, well, let's make the first level a board member involved in that as well, and then go up through the categories as we did.
Yeah, Michelle, it's Alan. I would only add, if you look at 6C, on page three, and it describes the third category of materials. That is a pretty detailed.
Yep.
These materials are pretty detailed guidance and application advice with respect to real world particular fact situations. They get pretty close to the standards themselves and how the standards should be applied. And I think the staff's thought was, with that level of proximity to the actual standards, having three board members raise their hands was sounded right and certainly did not sound excessive.
And it's really because when we get to these specific examples, particular words can matter a lot, and I think we get an extra level of assurance if we just have an extra set of eyes looking at those words and making sure that we haven't missed a nuance.
I think the board's
diversification.
Right. I think the board's and the foundation's overall bias is, frankly, I think bias is a fair word, is in favor of collaboration. And this, I guess, is evidence of that. And I don't think we're overworking the board by asking one more to weigh in on something that's of significant specificity and importance. So I think that's, Michelle, why we are where we are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Shall we call the question? Do I have a motion to approve the education materials as proposed?
I so move. Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila. Second?
I second it. Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. All in favor? And again, on the phone, most important. Everyone in favor, say aye. And if there's anyone who's opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Okay, hearing no nays, this also passes unanimously. That brings us to our third and final point. The committee has, in its sessions to date, gone through, and there have been papers posted and discussed with respect to major changes that are going to be made to the handbook. There's also been some summary discussion and posting with respect to some of the more minor changes. The committee has been through, I think, all of the changes. The committee has been through the invitation to comment that will accompany the draft handbook. That I hope we are going to publish. And so the thought from here would be to go through the final editorial process, publish the handbook with the invitation to comment and with a 90-day comment period that would take us to probably July by the time we get this published. The next trustees meeting and DPOC meeting will be is scheduled for June, which is before the end of the comment period, but the comments will be closed, let's say July, a couple of months for analysis of the comments, and I think the plan would be to have the committee discuss the comments and the response, begin to deliberate with respect to a final revised handbook at the October scheduled meeting of the trustees. I think we are mindful that this should take less time rather than more time, all the time we need to get it right. And we have saved 3 months by having this off-cycle meeting. And I certainly am not adverse, and I don't think anybody else on the committee is adverse to having another off-cycle meeting if that can accelerate the process. That will really depend on what the comments look like and how long it takes to get through them. So, but with that in mind, that is the proposal and the plan, and do we have any discussion or questions about that?
Mr. Chairman, I add again three points I would like to raise, actually, which are points I did raise before, but I'd like to maybe put them forward for some discussion, if it's possible.
Go ahead.
So the first point is really to try to get a better understanding on the timing that is proposed on the on the agenda, on page 2 of the agenda, something that look at an updated due process handbook by the third quarter of 2020. And I was trying to really understand why there was such a long period between the end of the comment, basically July 2019 and this third quarter 2020. And you know, some explanation would be helpful. And more specifically, a question behind that is if, you know, we could not set a more ambitious target, basically, in terms of completing this process, in particular in relation to, you know, the type of changes that are being proposed here. That's my first question.
I mean, I guess I think I sort of went through where I hope we end up. I think you probably focused, Michelle, as I did, on clause G of that next steps on page 2, which is the third quarter of 2020. I can tell you that I hope that that's a pessimistic and worst case scenario that would require us to, that would be the case if we have, I think, more and more difficult comments and reaction. Then I expect we will, and that the committee and the staff expect that we will, and that they take longer to work through. If that's not the case, or to make it more affirmative, if it's the case that we have fewer comments and they are less difficult, I would hope that we could do something like the first quarter of 2020. I'm also, as I said, not adverse to going off cycle again if that will get us out sooner rather than later. So I think the way to think of that third quarter of 2020 is, you know, if we have the most difficult path from here. I think you can tell by the fact that I'm speaking this way in our public session that I don't mind the record showing that we are going to try to have a more aggressive target that looks more like the first quarter.
Yeah, thank you. But, you know, I would offer a suggestion to be more explicit in that target. My experience has always been that once you set a target and, you know, you work toward it, and if we have, this very lengthy process has created a perception here, which I think, you know, we could try to mitigate by, again, you know, setting something that is realistic. And if for any reason the type of comments are coming back, require a lot more work on the back of them, you know, that's something that can be managed in different ways. So, I would ask whether or not a more ambitious target of first quarter 2020 for updating the due process handbook is not more, more appropriate at this stage.
I think we're Michelle. I think we're shooting at unknowns. I mean, I can tell you, we're going to get done in the first quarter, and you and I both know that that might not happen. I could tell you we're going to get done in the third quarter. You and I both know that we hope we'll do better. I mean, I don't mind if the committee would like to. I don't mind a sense of the committee that we'll shoot for the first quarter. Because there's no certainty here, I am loath to suggest there's certainty that doesn't exist. On the other hand, I don't mind putting us all on record as saying we think we can do better.
But Alan, nothing is particularly controversial, I wouldn't think.
That's why, Sheila, I don't mind saying it's the sense of the committee that we'll move faster. But I don't want anybody to be serious here. I don't want anybody on the phone or off the phone if we find something between now and March of 2020 that causes us to have to slow down that you told us we'd be done by March.
Well, no. I mean, people, I think, can understand if there are situations that develop. People can understand if something new happens, but I agree that we should be setting realistic targets and not worst-case scenario targets. And if we're all concerned about timeliness, this certainly doesn't indicate any timeliness. So why not make it a little, try to get it done earlier and set the timelines in accordance with that?
All right. Why don't we move that it's the sense of the committee that we be done in the first quarter? Do I have a motion?
I would be happy to move that.
Do I have a second?
Second. Larry.
Okay. Is there all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Anything else?
I think Michelle had.
I'm sorry, Michelle, you had a couple more?
Yeah, I had a couple. Hopefully, they'll be less controversial. I mean, one relates to the, let me go to the number, the page number. Yes. One relates to item 4, technical work plan. And one thing, and that's a point I had raised before with Richard, one thing that struck me when I read that is that there is clearly a consultation of the by the board of the advisory council. The difference with the trustees and is that the document as currently written only refers to the fact that the board keeps the trustees informed through the DPOC of its five-year consultation and how the board expects to respond to that. And my question is really around, what is the role, is the role of the trustee just to be on the receiving end of a process status, but there is nothing as currently written that sort of talks to a consultation process with the Board of Trustees? And I was wondering whether or not that's on purpose. Is it based on the Constitution? Is there any reason why it's so? And if not, why would not modify 4.4 and say that as part of the public consultation, or maybe as part of the consultation, the board also consult the IFRS Foundation trustees, basically. So that's the second item I had.
So this is Richard. The position of the role that the trustees play with the But the agenda consultation is actually in the Constitution rather than in the due process handbook. But we can certainly clarify that link in the due process handbook language.
But what the
can
Constitution
you clarify
says,
what
Yeah, what the Constitution says is essentially what 415 says.
That's right.
What's what?
4.5
So there's
I'm sorry,
again,
4.5
So there's no 4.5 So there's no consultation process between the Board of Trustees and
it is not called for in our constituent documents, Michelle. I mean, I think the board is free to consult whoever it wishes, but the process enshrined in our Constitution has the trustees being a due process referee in this case, but not a substantive inputter.
Okay.
And this is simply consistent with the Constitution.
So if we were to change that, this would require a change in the Constitution. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Okay. So that was the second point. And a very minor last point was I was looking at the wording of the final item 379, I think, 380 actually. And I found that the wording is quite actually, as it currently stands, quite sort of direct, and I don't know if it actually expressed the rationale for that statement well. And I was wondering if it says in addition, and I'm wondering if it would be better to link that to the, you know, in some ways, find a way through word, link that to the previous paragraph, basically, because as in addition, that statement, it could be challenged on many grounds, basically. So I wonder if any other reader of that paragraph had the same reaction.
I'm not sure it could be challenged, Michelle, but I understand. It's not an independent thought. It follows from 379. I mean, if you wanted to say something like, in that regard, the board is not required?
Merge. Yeah, either that or merge that with the previous paragraph. One of the two would actually make it less the standalone.
That's fine. We can also put them together. Very good. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none. Can I have a motion that with the amendment we just discussed and with other editorial changes as the staff sees fit, the committee approves the issuance of the handbook in its current form for comment together with the invitation to comment? Could I have such a motion?
I move, Guillermo.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay. The motion carries. Thank you all for your work in getting us to this point. This is a significant step in getting this done. And I think we all appreciate it. So thank you. Anything else for the meeting? Any other business? Okay. I think we are adjourned. Thank you all very
much. Thank you
very much. We will post a recording of this on the site. Thank you.